I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise, and I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh yes, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Don't you appreciate being in the house of God tonight? After hearing the message that we heard today, you know, I could ask this question. How many of you believe you could go anywhere else in this town and find a message like what we heard today? Not anybody else teaching that kind of thought pattern. And, you know, I've given a lot of thought and a lot of thinking along the lines that concerning the book of Hebrews where that Paul was talking and, you know, therefore leaving the principles. And here's a key factor that just stuck out in my mind of the doctrine of Christ. You know, seems like that everybody has got a doctrine of some kind. But when you get to chasing it through the book, you find so many tripwires. You find so many places where that it doesn't function. It don't fit. But I think that if we can ever really get the doctrine of Christ, we'll find out that it fits. Thank God. And the fact that, you know, I guess the thing that really, just really thrills me the most is the fact that he dealt with my life and allowed me to be a part. My Lord, I'm amazed. Brother Smith was talking today about the things that's happening in the Dominican Republic and how that the Spirit of God covers him, and it's just beyond his imagination that some of the things that God's doing. And here's the thought that's crossing my mind in some of those instances is that if we don't see it happen, it's hard for us to fathom that it's taking place. And, you know, it's so easy for us to look around us here in this service tonight. It would be easy for us to look and say, well, they don't feel what I feel. They don't know what's going on in my mind. They don't know that God's dealing with my heart. You know, that's an easy assumption because nobody's moving. Nobody's really responding. Nobody's doing anything. But yet in my mind, I'm settled on this thought that you're here tonight because God touched your heart. Hallelujah. Thank God. He touched your heart. He touched your life. You've got a revelation in your life. You may not be talking it like I am, but he's got one in your life or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. I thank God one time that he dealt with my heart and led me to know that he saved me to save me. You know, I went a long time thinking that God was this fellow sitting up there with had a big stick in his hand. And if I stepped over the line just a little ways, he's going to hit me with a stick. I really had that kind of a thought pattern. But tonight I don't have that kind of thought pattern. God saved us to save us. Hallelujah. Woo! We're going to be saved. We're going to make the bride of Christ. We're going to live forever. Hallelujah. And if I have to go to the grave and stay there for just a little while, and it doesn't make any difference whether that little while is, you know, 5 minutes or 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, 50 years. In the grave, there's no such thing as time. It'll just be that long. That's all. My Lord. You know, my father, bless his heart, you know, he had to deal with, what was it? Was it five of us knot-headed boys? There's myself and Jesse and Earl and Glenn and Paul David. Five of us that he had to deal with. And then there was two girls that come along. I'm not going to tell you what he done with them, but nevertheless, he still worked with us. But he made a statement one time as I was a teenager, and he said, "Son, I'm not afraid of death." Now, this was before we, you know, before he brought me to this body of people. And I was raised in a world where that if you died, you had two places to go. That was either heaven or hell. Well, I'd watched my dad, and I knew in my mind that he really didn't qualify to go to heaven. Of course, I didn't qualify either, but, you know, I figured out pretty soon, you know, that we'd both going to be in the same place. At least I'd have some company that I knew. But, you know, had that idea in my mind. So I began to question, "Dad, what do you mean you're not afraid of dying?" I mean, I was a teenage boy, and I really wasn't afraid of dying either, because you know how it is with teenagers, they're invincible. Young men are invincible. I mean, they can jump out of trees, they can jump out of barn lofts, they can run through a cow pasture, you know, with bulls out there that could run you down in a heartbeat. You know, teenage boys are invincible, I'm telling you. And if you don't believe it, you just ask all these guys, ask anybody in this church house that's been through those teen years. Well, after I got in my 20s, well, actually, before I got in my 20s, I hung a pulley in a tree. Took this wire and ran it through this big old pulley, and I was going to put a rope through there, you know, and we was going to pull each other up and down on that rope. Took this wire and wrapped it around this limb real good. I had two or three brothers out there on the end of the rope, and I swung out on this end of the rope, you know, at the end of that pulley. Okay, let me down. Well, when I swung out on that rope, guess what happened? The wire come unwrapped from around the limb. Dummy me, I just wrapped the wire around the limb. I didn't wrap it around the limb and twist them together. All that wire come unwrapped real quick. I hit the ground in a dive head first. Caught myself with my hands. Well, that was bad because it broke one of my arms. But the thing that I got up thankful for, I mean, I got up thankful from that experience. The pulley come down off that limb too. Barely missed my head. Of course, my dad, if he'd been telling this story, he said, "Well, it's a good thing, son." He said, "If it hit any place else on your body, it'd probably really hurt you bad. But he said, if it hit you on the head, we just had to bought a new pulley, that's all." Oh, yeah, it broke the pulley. Anyway, it led me to know that teenagers are not quite invincible as I thought they were. Then I got up in my 20s, had a tie-in with a tractor and lost that. It run over my head, big old tractor tire. I said, a big tractor is really a small tractor. The MF-135, if anybody knows the size on tractors, is about a 35-horsepower tractor. But went over my head, and I spent, 4 days in the hospital with his sister Ann. Yeah, that doctor, he asked me, he said, "Well," he said, "did you pass out?" I said, "No, sir." "Did you get dizzy?" "No, sir." "You get nauseated?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "We're going to keep you about 4 days in the hospital." I'm thinking, oh, God, what's wrong with this guy? Give him the right answers. Well, what they done is they looked at my eyes, and one of the pupils was dilated, and that's one of the signs of a fracture. Not a fracture. Is that? That's not the word I want to use it. A what? Concussion. Thank you. Well, if my dad would have been there, he'd told him, "Don't worry about it. That boy ain't going to have no concussion. His head's too hard." You know, dads are just that away. But nevertheless, you know, I was blessed that I got out from under that tractor. And then to show you that it really was a little more than I thought it was to begin with. I had a flat on one of them tractor tires a couple of weeks later. And I backed my truck into a little old, you know, in a little pockets with the back wheels in these pockets so the back end would be down low enough that I could roll this tractor tire up into the trailer of the truck. Rolled it up in there. It fell over flat in the bed of that truck. And when it did, it blowed out both back tires. And that thing was on my head. Nevertheless, you know, if I get to acting funny, well, y'all just kind of overlook it. I've got an excuse. Some of these other guys do that. Well, you might kind of look at them funny. But anyway, to point out that my father told me that death, he said, death is asleep. I'm walking around thinking that, wait a minute, what do you mean death is asleep? I'm a teenage kid now, I remember this. I'm trying to figure out what he's talking about. You know, and he told me about Lazarus, you know, and he was asleep. I'm trying to put this, I'm trying to plug this in to all this information that I have stuck in my brain. And I can't find a place to plug it in. You know, it just don't compute, as somebody said. Several years later, we met this body of people. And they began to give me the thoughts, the ideas concerning resurrections, concerning death, concerning heaven, concerning judgments. Brother, those things that my dad told me back there began to compute. I found a place for them to fit. They work. My father didn't have the Holy Ghost. Didn't have, you know, hadn't been taught by this body that much. Hadn't been around it very much. But God had put some truths in his heart and in his life that he shared in my heart. And they're still here today, and they're working better now than it was when I got them way back there as a teenage boy. Folks, we're in one of the greatest things that there is on the earth. You know, this country, Brother Smith was telling us today in his message that this country is blessed above all nations of the world. And that's hard for us to compute. Really it is. You know, because a lot of us, our billfolds are not very full. Mine's kind of like Sister Watson's. It doesn't have much money in it. Oh, wait a minute. No, mine's not either. Mine doesn't have any money. It hers does, according to Brother Smith. But I really appreciate her anyway. But what I'm pointing out is that it's hard for us to understand how blessed we are when we're blessed like we are. You've heard the old saying that nobody misses the water till the well goes dry. And a lot of us have this feeling that we're living by a well that doesn't have any water in it. I'm telling you, folks, we're living by a well that's got a lot of water in it. My Lord, this is a wonderful place to live. The United States of America is a great nation in the world, and it's blessed. Now, that title is going to change. This nation has begun. They didn't start it yesterday. They didn't start it the day before yesterday. And it come in a long time before Obama ever went in as president. So we can't put the blame all on him. These things that are happening in our nation today started back years ago. They started years ago. My father told me, you know, I was just a teenager again. But he told me, son, I cannot believe that this nation is going to keep going like it's going. He said, if it gets any worse, he said, God is going to destroy this thing before your lifetime's over. Well, he was wrong on that. My father was wrong on that. This nation has gotten a lot worse than what he seen at the time he was alive. It's gotten a lot worse. And I'll tell you something else. It's going to get worse than what we're seeing today. This nation is going to get a lot worse than what we're seeing today. Young people that grow up, Here's what we do. We see conditions that are in existence. You know, that we begin, when we begin to realize and begin to recognize it, we see them and we think it's always been this way. We think it, you know, that some of the things that we have lost, that some of these older men, Brother Weininger knows, we've lost some things. Brother Talley knows, we've lost some things in this nation. We've lost some freedoms that we used to have. You used to be able to go to the airport, get on an airplane, fly anywhere you wanted to. They didn't check your luggage. They didn't check you to see if you was carrying a bomb. Somebody said, well, that's for our safety. Look, how many bombs got on an airplane and blowed them up? Have we had 10 of them? At least that many in the United States? Yeah, but a lot of them's not being blown up for bombs on the inside. There's somebody shooting a rocket and it's going up there and hitting that thing. But my point is this. What they've done is they're passing laws on the majority of the people because of the minority of things that's taking place. Things that you know, and they're saying, well, we're going to pass these laws to help the general population. They're not helping us. They're not helping us. They're hurting us. But they're saying that they're helping us. If, as long as they keep saying they're helping us, the general populace will accept it. The day will come that they're going to pass laws that will take things away that actually the general populace, they will accept it because they've accepted all this other stuff all the way down along the line. And they'll just say, well, we're supposed to take it because the government said to do it. Anytime that a mayor of a city, anytime that a mayor of a city can send out notices to all the pastors of that city and tell them that they have to send their message for the following weekend to them to get approval before they can preach that message, don't you realize that there's something wrong with that? And if you hadn't heard about it, let me tell you something. That has taken place in the city of Houston, Texas. Already has. You might say, well, what's behind it? The person that's behind it is the mayor of the city of Houston, Texas, and their lifestyle is gay. They're gays. So any of the messages that comes across the Bible stands cannot have anything in it whatsoever in the negative sense toward that kind of lifestyle. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? That's just the first inkling that I know of where a governmental status individual has extended the arm out to cover the churches. They're saying to them churches over there that we've got more authority than you got. That's what they're telling them. Now then, here's the real bad kicker that's going to come into this situation. It's when the churches say, I think that's a good idea. Let's send them our message and make sure that it's acceptable. That don't sound bad, does it? Doesn't sound bad. But here's what happens when that takes place. That takes place, they have automatically accepted that individual as being their head. That's what they've done. But who is our head here? Who is it? Jesus is our head. What are we going to do? Are we going to say we're going to accept the governmental agencies or the government stand out here? Or is there going to come a time when we're going to say, look, this is the Word of God. This is what we go by. This is, you know, whatever you want, that's all right. You can get it from out there over them people that are out of them people that you're over. We're sorry, you're not over us. You're not our authority. We didn't get our authority from you. It comes from the Word of God. We're just going to have to take that stand. But look, there's going to be a price to pay for that. There's going to be a price to pay. You know, we've heard this all of our lives that, you know, there's going to be a price to pay. And I'm going to take the other side of the fence for just a little bit. It sounds bad when we say that people are going to give their lives for this. When I say give their lives, I'm talking about literally give their lives. They're going to be thrown in jail. They're going to be drug up down the streets behind cars before it's all said and done. They're going to find ways to kill us because we're not accepting them as our head. There's an old song said talking about the three Hebrew children, said they didn't bow, they didn't bend, and they didn't burn. Let me tell you something, the fire got hot, but there was a difference in their lives that wasn't in anybody else's life. There was a reason why they didn't bend. They wouldn't bow down to him, to that king as their authority, as their head. They recognized that God was their head. They said, "Oh, King, we're not careful to answer you concerning this matter. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to do it. The God we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to bow down. He is going to deliver us out of your hands." Somebody said, "Well, yeah, he delivered them, all right. But what if he hadn't brought them out of the fire? He still would have delivered them out of that king's hand. You know, the king couldn't have done anything about it. What would he do with three guys that's burnt to a crisp? You know, save them, put them on a shelf someplace. Maybe scrape up the ashes that's left, put them in an urn and hang them, you know, set them on a mantle somewhere. Oh, no. But dear hearts, tonight we have a chance to accept Jesus Christ as our heads. Put him into your heart, into your life in a greater way. Begin to allow the things that Brother Smith was talking to us today about our judgment. Judgment is not to kill us. It's not for our harm. It's for our good. Then if you want, I said I wanted to take the positive side of this. Did you know we are going to receive eternal life out of this? As Brother Ogden said the other night, he made mention about living 10,000 years. When we do that, we've just begun. It's hard for him to wrap his mind around that. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around just, you know, living 200 more years. Did you know that? I mean, I'm 71 years old. I can't walk real good. I hurt most of the time when I walk. If I was to jump up and start walking, I'd probably fall flat on my face. So that's the reason I don't do it anymore. But just to think we're going to have eternal life. We're going to live forever. Somebody said, "I don't like the way you treated me." You know. And I'm going to have a fit about it. I'm going to let everybody know that you're not treating me good. I'm going to sit on my chair and not do nothing. Look, Is that worth eternal life? Do you want to let that other person that treated you bad, do you want to let them get ahead of you and become between you and Jesus? Or do you want Jesus closer to you than you have all these other fellas, all these other folks? Look, you folks can treat me mean as you want to. It doesn't bother me. It don't bother me. But I've got my eyes on somebody that's going to give me eternal life. I want to live forever. I want to. And I know, you know, I've read the book enough, and I've heard enough preachers speak, that I am convinced, I'm convinced, that the life that we're going to have after this one is going to be so much better. You know, you may treat me real bad over here, but when you get over there, you're going to treat me real good. Woo! I'm sure looking for, I'm looking forward for us getting over there. Woo! It don't make any difference. I don't want to let nothing, I don't want to let anything happen to my life to cause me to take on the wrong spirit or the wrong attitude. Cause me to lose my connection with the one that can give me life forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Folks, we got an opportunity tonight. A golden opportunity. I know, you know, I've never been a good salesman. I've tried it a few times and just never was real good at it. I want you to know tonight, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've got something here that's worth talking about. Telling everybody, you know. But I have found out, too, that, you know, Brother Smith made mention concerning some of us resurrecting, you know, down here before this Latter-day Church comes in. And he said, you know, if we wake up, who are we going to go tell? I mean, you know, we're gonna be telling everybody down the street, you know, I'm down there. Everybody that we meet, we're going to be telling, look, I was dead. You were, yeah, but I'm back alive now. I'm looking for a church. You know where this thing's at. They're going to look at you like you have lost your marbles. You're out of your ever-loving mind. You know, you think we get treated funny now. What do you think we're going to run into then on that? But it really is worse than that, to be honest with you. Did you know it's hard for us to find people out here on the street or anywhere else that we can share the truths of the Word of God with? It's hard to find people. So this world has got to go through some changes. You know, it's got to go through some changes because I don't think, in my mind, that this building sitting here with all these empty pews for nothing. Can I make some prophecies? Can I make some prophecies? Some of you may not live to see it, and I may not live to see it. But I'm going to predict that the day will come that these benches will all be full. In fact, they won't fill up just from the back. They'll fill up from the front. Because the conditions of this world are going to change so drastically. And people are going to be so tired of this make-believe religion. This makeshift. Yeah, Brother Wagner said the easy way to heaven. It's going to dawn on them that it's not carrying its own weight. It won't get you there. My Lord. And we're here learning some things. You're not going to be able to just sit around and do nothing. You young folks, listen to what I'm saying to you. If you don't get nothing but this, just this one thought, you're not going to be able to sit around and do nothing. People that are coming in here are going to need help. Get ready to help them. When they begin to ask questions, what about these doctrines of Christ? What about the resurrection? When a person dies, where do they go? What happens to them? Look, we're building a church that's going to have the glory of God in it. Going to have the full operation of Jesus Christ working in our midst. It's hard for me to really realize that it's going to take place. I believe it with all my heart, though, that God is going to manifest himself one more time in this world among the Gentile people. Hallelujah, it's going to happen. The book says it is. If nothing else, I can stand on the book and say it says it's going to happen. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, thank God. How many of you have ever heard the statement made? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. It's the first verse, 11th chapter of Hebrews. In a court of law, you cannot convict anybody on hearsay. You cannot convict anybody on, I started to say you can't convict them on circumstantial evidence. If there's enough of it, now you can. There's enough of it. I've always had this thought in my mind that faith, you know, is something that you can have in your heart, in your mind. But this scripture said that faith is a substance. It's a substance. Substance is something you can reach out and get a hold of. You ever thought of that? I mean, you can get a hold of substance. I mean, that's some powerful stuff. Faith is substance. It's the real thing. It's the real thing. And it's evidence. It's evidence. I might have to sit down and shut up. But I'm so glad to be here to be a part of what God is doing. And know that there's something happening. If it's not happening in your life, I'm going to tell you one thing. It's certainly happening in my heart. I'm being stirred from center to circumference, from the very core to the very outer edge. My Lord, I appreciate this church and what's going on here. I appreciate our band, Brother Smith and Brother Michael Smith, working with them, laboring with them. I appreciate their efforts and their putting forth. I appreciate the saints of God that are sitting in the congregation. I appreciate you. I love you. I thank God for you. Hallelujah. We're like kindred. You know, we've got some pain on the inside of us that makes us alike. Brother Weininger got up here last Wednesday night and spoke to us. I was standing with him. He might not have seen me, but I was standing with him. I believe in standing with the people of God to get to their feet. That's what the Bible said happened on the day of Pentecost. Said when Peter stood up, the 11 stood with him. The way I look at it, when Brother Painter's up here speaking to you, he's my mouthpiece. He's speaking for me too. I'm standing with him. Hallelujah. When Brother Phil gets up here and starts speaking to us, I'm standing with him. Hallelujah. Brother Durham, when you stand up, I'm standing with you. You may look around, I may be sitting in that chair over there or over here, wherever I'm at, but I'm standing with you because on the inside of me, there's a desire to be saying some of the things that you're saying. And I know as long as you touch the Spirit of God, that something will come forth from it that'll touch my soul and bring more life to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for all of his people. Whew. I just listed off some of these brothers standing up here, but did you know that I feel the same way when some of you young people stand to your feet? I feel the same way about it. I have that same feeling. Some of you sisters, get up. Hallelujah, I want you to know that I'm standing with you. Because you're the mouthpiece that God has spoke, has chosen to speak for us at that very minute. I'm standing with you because I want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I'm a part of the church. Hallelujah, I'm in the church. I'm a part of it. I want to hear what He has to say. Regardless to who said it, I want to be able to hear it. I'm standing with you. Woo! I got to sit down and shut up. Thank God for the opportunity that I have to be a part of His great kingdom tonight.
I've had a glimpse of heaven. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like Him. So I must strive with all my might. And I want to make it in. Oh, I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. I've had a glimpse of Jesus, and I want to be like Him. So I must strive with all my might to make my spirit live. I've had a glimpse of heaven, and I want to make it in. Oh, I've had a glimpse.
Sister Lynette was talking about, when the end comes, somebody is going to be among the young people. And, you know, when I came around here, I wasn't but 34 years old. They were talking about the end was near. And I thought, well, I'm still young. I'm not ready. I'm not sure I'm ready for the end to be near. But, you know, it's going to be God's time. It's when he gets ready, somebody's going to be among the young people. But I'm just thankful that I'm still here. You know, there's been a few times in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years I've thought about giving up. I hate to say that, but nobody but the Lord and I knows how much fatigue and depression I've been through in the last 10 years. So, you know, somebody in the scripture, in the Bible said, what is my strength that I should hope? And I thought, Lord, I don't have enough strength to serve you. I'm fatigued and depressed, and why shouldn't I even hope, you know? But the Lord has really helped me and strengthened me to where now, you know, instead of when I'm by myself and depressed and fatigued, I feel the comfort of the Holy Ghost and the comfort of the Holy Spirit around me. So God has really strengthened me and made me more positive. I don't want to be a negative influence. So somebody's, oh no, here comes Brother Fleming with his negative attitude. You know, somebody said, some people are like clouds. They make the day brighter when they disappear. So I don't want to be like one of them. you know, it said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And why is that scripture? Endeavoring to keep the bond of the, endeavoring to keep the spirit in the bond of peace. Is that the way it goes? Endeavoring to keep the spirit in the bond of peace. And so I want to be a peacemaker, and you know, there's been a lot of bloodshed over time over church doctrine, and what that scripture says: if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So anyway, there was a story about this man. He was walking across the bridge, and this man was about to jump off, and he said, "Don't jump off!" And he said, "Why not?" He said, well, you've got a lot to live for. And he said, like what? And he said, well, are you religious? And he said, yeah. And he said, are you Buddhist or Christian? And he said, I'm Christian. And he said, are you Protestant or Catholic? And he said, I'm Protestant. He said, are you Baptist or Episcopalian? And he said, I'm Baptist. And he said, are you Baptist Church of God or are you Baptist Church of the Lord? And he said, I'm Baptist Church of God. He said, well, are you a part of the original Baptist Church of God or the Reformed Baptist Church of God? And he said, well, I'm a part of the Reformed Baptist Church of God of 1915, and the other man was a part of the Reformed Baptist Church of 1879. So the man that told him not to jump, he said, get out of here, you heretic scum, and pushed him off. So there wasn't much peace making there. But anyway, I just... you know, I just marvel, you know, that what we have here, that we don't have more people, you know. I mean, this is so priceless, and yet I can't get any of my relatives interested in this. And, you know, it's just God's dealing. And like I say, I'm just thankful that the Lord has helped me with my depression and the fatigue, because I would go through times of depression, and then it would go away, and then I would dread the next time it was going to come around. But fortunately, it seems like God has really helped me this year, and maybe it's because I'm coming more often. I don't know what, but anyway, it's you people are all chosen of God and special people of God, and I'm just thankful that the Lord, the first time I was here, he opened my eyes. I was on usher duty earlier this year one Sunday night, and a man came in about 45 minutes before the service was over. Brother Painter was in charge, and he was sitting over here by where Brother Matthew is, and he sat down for about 20 minutes, and he got up and left, and never see him again, you know. So he may be one of those, like Brother Smith said, you know, that unless I mean, you can preach the scriptures all day and back somebody up in the corner, but if their heart's not open, if not God's not dealing with them, then you're just wasting your time. So I'm just thankful that I'm among a bunch of special people that have been blessed with an open heart and an open mind to be able, you know, you can't just discuss these doctrines with everybody. It's you can discuss it among us, but, you know, when we're fellowshipping, but you can't discuss them everywhere. So we're just a blessed bunch of people. I praise God and thank Him I'm here.
But anyway, he does things for me. I noticed that sometimes every day and sometimes, you know, not quite that often. I don't think over two or three days go by that I haven't noticed that something he has particularly done for me. But I was thinking about how last night I was going to go to the store. I needed some things where my family and I were gonna have a picnic today, and so since I don't buy or sell on Sunday, I thought, well, I got to go out tonight, even though it is late. And so anyway, I was going down Baseline, and I got almost to Chico, and all of a sudden my brake light came on, and it was bright red. I could have missed it, and so. Anyway, I got to the food giant. I hadn't planned on going there, but I pulled in and I didn't see any cars, and so I didn't know if they were open. The sign said they closed at 10 o'clock, but God didn't let them close. They stayed open until I went in, and I got some brake fluid, and the guard came out and put it in the cylinder for me. And when I tried to see how much was in there, and evidently it was completely dry, I'm sure. Now, the brakes hasn't been acting right for maybe 2 years. And now I got some brake shoes and rotors put on maybe a year or more. It was still kind of acting funny, like I'm put my foot on the brakes, and they would be kind of hard, and they didn't want to give. And one time it was kind of last winter, I guess, snow and ice, and it was a little bit slippery, and so I made sure I didn't put it on real hard and fast because I wouldn't have been able to stop, and I did almost get in the middle of the crossing traffic. But anyway, when I got the brake fluid in there last night and I drove off, I thought, oh, so this is the reason why my brakes haven't been working for a year or two. And so, but anyway, I told the guard, I said, you know, if it wasn't for God, I don't know what I would do, because He makes things happen all the time in a way that I know it's not coincidence. Because, you see, I could have been out on the freeway when that happened, and I could have had a terrible accident, because since there wasn't any brake fluid in there, they could have just gave out any time. But then I could have been in Kroger's parking lot where I planned on going, and I got hit or hit somebody else. And if I hit and hurt somebody or killed somebody, I mean, I would want to die myself. I couldn't live through it. But anyway, I've told different people how God works things out, you know, where He makes you be at a certain place at a certain time, or a certain person, you know. There, He does that in my life, you know. Things aren't coincidence. I don't really believe in coincidence. But I know that that everything in my life, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Did I say that right? And so I know that if I live for him and do his will and make sure everything I do is pleasing to him, then he'll make a way for me regardless of what it is in my life. He'll work things out. And I am especially fond of that, was it Jeremiah 29:11, where he said his thoughts, well, I'm not going to repeat it. I got my brain sometimes gets ahead of my mouth, and I never do get things out just right. But anyway, I know that his plans for me are good and perfect. And so all that I've learned to do is to turn my life and everything I say and do over to him. And I don't have anything to worry about because I know he's not going to harm me, that all his plans for me are good. And I'm just so thankful and so grateful to God. I love him with all my heart. And I just want to please him in everything I do.
I appreciate the Lord tonight. I really enjoy the spirit when we're feeling here tonight. And enjoyed Brother Fleming's talk. I was thinking sometimes God puts a cloud in the sky to protect us from the sun. Have you ever been out on a hot, sunny day and been thankful that cloud was up there? And so, you know, he puts everybody in our lives for a reason. And who was it? Who was it that said that they had never met a person they didn't love? I know some people are easier to love than others, but he gave us everybody for a reason. And even when we go through things that are difficult, you know, Brother Smith said that some people work for God, some people work with God. Well, some people are good to you, some people are good for you. But I appreciate God for everybody. The family of God, you know, there's nothing more important than his family. And like the waters of the brook that roll the rocks together, they go into the creek with all kinds of jagged edges on them, but they come out smooth. And so the main thing is to stay hooked up to God and let the Holy Ghost do a work in our lives, and let that Holy Spirit do something. When somebody does something wrong and offends us, does this, you know, that's not altogether bad. Because Jesus said that if somebody does evil to you, to return evil for good, to love them that spitefully use you and pray for them. And in so doing, you heap coals of fire on their head. Well, I know that Jesus didn't say that because he wanted you to be spiteful to them. But have you ever had somebody do that to you? I know you've never done anything wrong to anybody, maybe. But I have. There's been times. And you had somebody treat you good in return. You feel that burning sensation in your heart. Like, you know, I know God's talking to me through this person. And even the disciples, when Jesus rose from the grave before he had revealed himself to everybody, some of his disciples came in, they said that our hearts burned within us when he spoke to us. And you know, you can make friends that way. Somebody treats you bad, does you wrong. If you treat that person right, you can make some of the best friends that you'll ever have. If you return good for evil. Brother McGowan was talking about the doctrine of Christ. There's a scripture that says that bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill ye the law of Christ. That was his law, is to love your brother as yourself. And love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. That was his fulfilling, you know. He came, I know the old covenant was done away with, but Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it, even though he did do away with it. When he died, he released that covenant, the bondage of that covenant. He was married to the Jews through the covenant of Moses, but when they killed him, they released him of that law, and so he was no longer bound to the Jews. He came to the Jews. The Bible says he came to the Jews, and the Jews, or he came to his own, and his own received him not. So because of that, then he was released to marry another. Thank God. We have that benefit now that we're able to be a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You know, we weren't always able to, but he opened the door for us. Hallelujah. So it's a privilege when somebody does us wrong. A benefit. It's a blessing. Think of it in that way. And it's easier to bear because Jesus gave us the tools to know how to deal with that. We love them. Do good to them. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And so I appreciate what Jesus is doing in my life. I appreciate, by the way, I got a testimony here tonight. You all prayed for me this morning. Brother Smith gave you a little bit of my testimony. I'm going through something right now financially. I work slow, and I got a call after church this morning, and somebody offered me nearly what I was asking for my travel trailer, and are coming tonight after service to pick it up. they're supposed to be. You know, I told my wife I'm going to shout and jump when he hands me the money and he's pulling out of the driveway. But I feel pretty good about it. He said he's going to give me cash, so I'm excited. And thank you for your prayers, and thank you, Lord. So God puts us through the test and through our trials for a reason. He tests our faith. And I appreciate that. You know, God wants to know if we love him, if we're going to trust him in all our ways. And, you know, just like the Hebrew children that were thrown in the fiery furnace, God was testing them. They had lived pretty high. They were second in command. You know, the three Hebrew children and Daniel were the king's top men. And they had a lot of people jealous of him. And they were jealous of their influence with the king. And so they had to expect a certain amount of that. But God came through for them and seen them through in their time of trouble, just like Daniel. He had the same thing happen to him with Darius when the king's top men were jealous of him, and they knew one thing Daniel wouldn't do was compromise on his faith towards God. And so they thought, we're going to catch him in his weakness. Well, they didn't know that wasn't his weakness. They were dealing with somebody more powerful than Daniel. And in their case, it didn't work out so good. Now, it does seem like... Now, didn't the people that had the three Hebrew children thrown in the fiery furnace... Seemed like they got thrown in there too, didn't they? Yeah. Oh, they didn't even get to the heat, the fire before they burned up. And the same thing with Daniel, the men that... And you know, that was an interesting situation because... The king loved Daniel, and they tricked the king. And, you know, they weren't, in my opinion now, in my humble opinion, that wasn't very smart what they did. The Bible says they were his wise men, but I don't think they were that wise. Because they knew the king loved them. And even if the lions would have chewed Daniel up and ate him up, I don't think the king would have been too lenient with him. Either way, it wouldn't have been good for him. So, but God is, he loves his children. And he loves it when we make a stand for him too. You notice that? When you make a stand for him, he loves it. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. So, and wisdom comes from God. And so, it takes... But you know, when we have the love of Christ, when we show that love of Christ to someone, that's wisdom. You know, because that doesn't come by nature. That's not a natural thing for me to do when somebody treats me wrong, to turn around and treat them good in return. But you know, that's what God wants us to do. And by the grace of God, I can do that. And there's been a time or two that I've felt that blessing. When people done me wrong, I treated them good, and you just feel good all over, you know. You just know that I did suffer a little bit in that, but you know, the reward God gave me was worth it. And another thing is, you know, these politicians out here, you know, if they would get smart, it seemed to me like, when their opponent talks about them evil, you know, and treats them bad on television, if they would just kind of let that slide and maybe even say a good word or two about the other person, but then start talking about what they're doing to benefit you, you know. Seems to me like people would appreciate that and honor that. People love it when they see that you have a little bit of integrity, a little bit of righteous integrity, and that you, if they know you're going to treat somebody else good, they know you're going to treat them good. But, you know, any good they do is stolen. The Bible says that stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is, how's that go? Pleasant. All right. But Seems like it says a debtor there somewhere. I'm sorry? And that's the way it goes, isn't it? So, I'm sorry? But Brother Smith tells us not to get too caught up in politics. But does the Bible says, and this isn't getting caught up when you do this, but you can pray for them. The Bible says pray for your leaders, pray for the king, and those that are over us because they carry the sword. Of course, he's probably more talking about our leaders in the church, because ministers here that carry the word of God. Now that's the sword of God. That is the real sword. And that's where the real power is. So I thank God for his goodness to me, and I feel so, I'm like, you know, every time Brother McGowan gets up, you can just feel his love for the body of Christ. And I feel that along with him. I just love the Lord. I just love where God led me. You know, I didn't have the Holy Ghost when I came here, but God led me here, brother. I know God led me here to the body of Christ. And I don't know why. He was good to me, you know. And now I came in to a body meeting, Brother Smith, there in Republic when I was about 18. And my cousin John Boyd, he and I was good friends. Well, we are still good friends, but growing up, we were really close. One day, he said, he knew I was having a little bit of trouble. And he said, Mark, why don't you come and visit me? I found a church that that I'm going to go visit. I think you'd enjoy it. So I went and visited, and that was Brother Smith's church. And you know, I think that's the only time John ever went to the body church, and he never came back. But I went in there, and I was gone for 2 months. I never even thought about it for 2 months. I never even thought about going back. But one day I was praying and fasting, and the Lord clicked it in my head. You need to go back there and visit that church. And I went back, and I never left. Never. I never left. But, you know, it's just, it's interesting to me how that some people can come here, you know. Of course, like I said, I left for 2 months. So just because somebody doesn't come back right away, don't give up on them. Because I'm here to tell you, you can. They may come back. And so God can deal with them. You never know. You know, I think about this young lady over here that came in. What was her name? That Brother Smith was giving her a hard time. Response is what Brother Smith said. He's going to call it Responda. I'm taking his side. Actually, that's all I can remember. Okay, Responda. But I felt like she felt something here. But you know how we win people is by showing them love. You know, I remember coming when I first met the body. I never heard a doctrine. Brother Smith, I'm sure he was teaching, but I never heard a doctrine for months. All I heard was the beautiful singing, the love that they gave me, the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember feeling the Holy Ghost and thinking, I wanted the Holy Ghost. I didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I did want it. And I thought, man, if I stick around here, I might get it. Because, you know, I'd never been in a service or a church that had so much. I mean, it wasn't just, You know, the church I grew up in, there, you might see one person speak in tongues here and there and now and then. But it just seemed like such a covering come over and so many people that I found out, I asked Brother Smith, how many people have the Holy Ghost here? And he said, everybody. And I'm like, I have a pretty good chance. You know, and so it's a matter of the heart, you know. And, but, like I said, love is what won me here. And so keep that in mind when you're trying to win somebody to the body. So, anyway, it's good to be here. I really love the Lord. I appreciate the spirit I feel here, the covering. And I love you all. So, I might sing a song. Appreciate you. I'm going to sing The Longer I Serve Him. I used to sing it in G. I don't know if I still do or not. My voice has changed a little bit. I used to sing a lot back when I was younger. But my voice has changed some. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Well, each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grace He bestows. Every day my way grows brighter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. It's like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve, oh, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Oh, the more love He'll bestow. Hallelujah. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I love, hallelujah, he'll bestow. Each day is like heaven, my heart, it overflows the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Hallelujah. Thank you. Bless the Lord.
Not much more that we can add to this with the words that we heard today from Brother Smith. I tell you, I was just going over with my children in the car going home, going through the fivefold ministry, the five few phases of judgment, the four soils. I mean, there was a lot that he hit on today. It was like, wow, that was, you know, that was steak and baked potato and pumpkin pie and everything else you want. I mean, it was like, woo, that was some good stuff. And how and where else can we go truly to receive a meal like that for our souls? Where can you go to find that truth the way it was given out today? I really appreciate that. And so that being said, let's remember Brother Smith and Sister Smith while they're taking this little respite, this, you know, 5 days. Let's pray for him. We know that he is a hard laborer for the Lord. And I appreciate that. And I want to, you know, I want to remember that. Just in that opportunity, I got a chance to, when I went to Dominican Republic with him, and I've been able to travel some to the other churches with him, seeing his conviction, his heart, his the workload, you know, whenever, when I was resting in the Dominican Republic and enjoying the sights, he was on the phone with somebody. He was counseling someone, you know, from the States when he's in the Dominican. And when he's here, then he's talking to them. So, you know, I'm not trying to raise him up beyond, but we need to give him honor and appreciate what he does, that God's using him and that we have that blessing. And let's pray that God refreshes him and gives him some, him and Sister Smith both. You know, she, but behind every good man is a wonderful woman that he's been blessed with. And Brother Smith has one in Sister Smith who does a lot behind the scenes and taking care of Grandma Smith and the kennel and everything that goes with that. So let's just remember them. I know we have some other requests. I know Sister Reva is sick. And let's always remember Brother and Sister Crow. Anything else that Sister Cindy's mother. Brother, let's remember Brother York as he's recuperating from... Okay, let's remember Sister Bonnie's daughter, Siobhan. Those of you remember her years ago, she'd been here, grew up here, was born here. Let's remember Sister Siobhan. Sister Golden. Right, right. Let's remember Sister Golden. You said Brother Sister Crafton? Brother Crafton's sister. And Brother Larry. And Brother Stewart. Brother Daniel's older sister, Linda. Linda. Let's remember all these needs that we have. Sister Abraham, your family. All right. And let's remember Brother Jacob as well. Yes, let's remember Sister Donna as she goes. See the doctor, Brother Wallace. Sister Debbie as well. Not feeling well, she's at home. Let's remember this week and thinking as Brother McGowan, Brother Boyd, Brother Fleming all sort of hit on the same thing in relation to when we're, you know, not everyone seems to be hungry for this, but as we're going through the week, you know, as Brother Smith was reading today, you know, we are living epistles known and read of men. We may be the only Bible that some people get a chance to be around or to read, to see in our life. So if it's just that, you know, that smile their way, that comforting word, just being there, you having the Spirit of God in your life, you don't know how you're affecting those people. And when those things come their way, they'll be able to go to you and say, hey, I know that you're a Christian. Would you pray for me? You'd be surprised at what people are looking at. They're watching us today, and that's when we're having that opportunity to fulfill that prophecy of Brother McGowan's that these pews will be filled. But we're the first fruits here in this. We're the first fruits. We're learning today so that we can one day help others. So remember that through the week. Ask God to put it on your heart. Who can I help lead this way, Lord? I have precious jewels, but I know I shouldn't just hoard them, but I want to make sure that I share them with the right person. So let's, as we remember all these needs tonight, let's not forget Brother Smith, and let's go to the Lord in prayer right now for the remainder of the week. Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be here in this place, dear Jesus. We love you and we praise you for all that you've done for us, giving this vision of the body of Christ, Lord, the restoration of your church, Lord, seeing that white throne judgment. Dear God, we appreciate so much what you give to us. Lord, each and every one who is not able to be here tonight, Lord, through sickness, through pain, Lord, through things going on, touch them, each and every one, Lord God. Bring us back safely Wednesday night to get closer to you, Lord, to realize why we're here, Lord. It's not for our good, but for you, Lord. We appreciate you and we love you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. We just praise him. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, dear God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord.